My name is Pedro Reyes, and we're right here on Setting the Standard. We're kicking it on the down low right here because of the situation that's happening on the streets. As you know, the 99% rallies are getting actually a lot of brutality from the police and are being, raided and infiltrated in many different ways. But at the same time, there's always been this struggle, and folks were organizing against it, this type of brutality in our communities as well. And they actually came up with a day called October 22nd. And what that means is that day is Stop Police Brutality Day. And so it's a national, right, international event that takes place on October 22nd. And it focuses on the brutality that goes on in our communities by the police, by the police department, by the government system that run this type of police departments, and how it really affects those families that are living in these types of environments where, they have helicopters flying around their neighborhoods, shining lights down on them just because they're parked there too long, or just because you don't look like white enough sometimes, or you're just kind of sort of fit the profile of their stereotypes, right? And we're talking about the police. So once again, we're talking with Larry. Larry's been on this show before with us, and he's actually one of the organizers helping organize October 22nd. So folks are aware and understand how important this type of event is, and to hold solidarity with those who are being brutalized by the police every day. So Larry, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Paul, thank you. And I just want to say this October 22nd takes place at a time of really, heightened struggle, around the country. Partly through.
Simplemente que ocurre este 22 de octubre durante una temporada donde un auge de lucha por todo el país.
These occupations that are going on in something like 1,000 cities, including in Europe and Canada, really represent, the rising of people, against this whole system.
Entonces lo que se ve las tomadas de las diferentes ciudades, no solamente aquí en los Estados Unidos, sino en varias ciudades de Europa, representa la esperanza de la gente en tratar de corregir los errores, las condiciones que encuentran.
In October 22nd this year, we're raising the slogans of stop police brutality, stop police occupation of our communities, support the hunger strikers in California prisons, stop the torture of prisoners and human beings. We think it's very important to not only support but understand that the hunger strike represents people who are like supposed to be cast off by the system, rising up, and it inspires us for all of us who want liberation for people.
Entonces, durante este 22 de octubre estamos levantando las lemas y estamos apoyando las luchas de los presos que están ahorita en huelga de hambre, los que el sistema ha desechado, y decimos que tenemos que luchar en favor y en apoyo de estas diferentes huelgas de hambre que se ven en los penales de California y en otros lugares.
This year, October 22nd, in the San Francisco Bay Area, is going to be held in the Bayview District on Saturday 12 noon at 3rd and Palou.
Y este 22 de octubre se va a ser celebrado este sábado, el 22 de octubre, en la calle Tercera y Palou, en el Bayview, Distrito Bayview, en San Francisco.
This is one of the communities across the country that is treated like occupied territory by increasingly militarized armies of law enforcement.
Entonces es una de las comunidades ocupadas por las fuerzas de orden como un ejército militar que están atacando la comunidad.
Particularly black and brown communities. People are harassed with massive campaigns of stop and frisk, like in New York City, where something like 2,000 youths, black and brown youths mainly, are stopped every day by the police.
Y están llevando a cabo campañas como detener y registrar, donde las ciudades de Nueva York, 2,000 jóvenes al día, están parados y son registrados por la policía. Principalmente son jóvenes de color, latinos y afroamericanos.
These communities are criminalized, brutalized, murdered for their perceived status. either socioeconomic, immigration, mental health, racial, gender, or sexual identity.
Entonces, estos jóvenes se ven hostigados y condenados simplemente por su apariencia de tener piel de color, porque son de un sexo que no les gusta la policía, o posiblemente tienen problemas de salud mental, o por otra excusa, son castigados y hostigados.
In these last few years, we have seen, you know, the killings of Oscar Grant, this, in this area alone, the killings of Oscar Grant, Raheem Brown, Brownie Polk, Derek Jones, Andrew Maupin, Gus Rugley, Fred Cook, Guy Giroux, Big Bui, I'm sorry.
Y hemos visto la muerte a manos de la policía de varios, de Brownie Polk, de Oscar Grant, y de varios otros, Derek Jones, que han muerto a manos de la policía durante estos últimos años.
And these are just some of the lives stolen from the Bay Area.
Unos cuantos de las vidas que se han sido robadas aquí en la área de la Bahía.
And, across the country, I'm not going to list it, but in Chicago, something like 44 people so far have been shot by the police. New York City, in California, particularly at Fullerton, Arizona, Georgia, this, across the country, there's a huge epidemic of police killings and brutality.
Aquí se ve una epidemia por todo el país. 44 jóvenes han sido asesinados por la policía en la ciudad de Chicago. En Nueva York hay la matanza de negros y latinos. Y hay tantos, por ejemplo, en Arizona, que han asesinado varios inmigrantes en Arizona.
And recently, in July, two men have been shot down by police authorities in the Bay Area. Charles Hill was shot down on July 3rd by Park Police, and Kenneth Harding was shot down in the Bayview District, supposedly running from a $2 train fare. It's an example of how this system is creating, particularly in the Bay Area, is going after youth. And I think at this point it would be good to actually go into the case of Kenneth Harding and what happened, and talk
lo que hemos visto aquí en la área de Bahía fue el asesinato de Kenneth Harding y Charles Hill. Kenneth Harding fue asesinado por la policía simplemente porque no había pagado la cuota, su cuota en el autobús. Lo persiguieron, lo balacearon y no permitieron que entrara la ambulancia hasta cuando ya había perdido suficiente sangre que se murió.
Yes, you know, this is a very sad tragedy. Es una tragedia muy triste cuando pasa algo así. Vemos que cuando alguien, especialmente los policías, cuando los policías balacean, when the police shoot somebody, they normally send in the dogs, right, to go and check to see if they're still alive. And for some reason, it's kind of like interesting that they send dogs, you know, to go check if the folks are still alive instead of actually having the actual ambulance department going in and being a part of that process so that they can really support this person as well, right? Because once again, they're not criminals until proven guilty, supposedly. And so right now we have on the line D'Amica Chapman, who is here with us on the line, and she's going to be telling us her own personal experience of what happened to her as a mother who's here and has experienced this type of brutality on a whole different level. So, D'Amica, welcome to the show right here on Setting the Standard. Once again, thank you for having this courage to share this experience with everybody listening here. So go ahead and tell us, first of all, what was this experience that you did experience?
First of all, I'd like to thank you all for having me on your show tonight. I appreciate it. It's very important to me to get out what happened to my son, because I would like to create some prevention as well as awareness that this is occurring, this is going on, because I don't want to see anybody else become Kenneth Harding.
Sí, yo muchas gracias por haber darme uso de la palabra, porque yo solamente no quiero crear conciencia de lo que está pasando, sino a la vez también quiero hacer algo para prevenir que esto ocurra en el futuro. Yo no quiero que ninguna otra madre sufra lo que he sufrido yo con la pérdida de mi querido hijo.
Now, my experience with is a lot of sorrow, a lot of grief, a lot of pain, anguish, as well as anger. My son was killed over a $2 muni fare.
Y ha sufrido de pena, de angustia. Y es horrible que uno pierde su querido hijo simplemente por no haber pagado una cuota de $2.
My son was singled out on the Muni Transit. The police asked him, walked up to him, approached him, asked him to provide proof of purchase that he purchased the Muni fare. And when he didn't provide it, he was escorted off the train and put onto the platform.
Entonces lo que pasaron fueron y a él especialmente y se acercaron y le preguntaron por prueba que había pagado la cuota y cuando él no podía producir tal prueba, entonces lo sacaron del autobús y lo llevaron a la plataforma allí.
When he didn't provide, when he was sat on the platform, he gave chase and at that point he was shot 10 times in the back.
Entonces él trató de huir y le dieron 10 balazos en la espalda.
As well as he was left in the middle of the street on 3rd Street and Palou.
Y lo dejaron allí en la calle Tercera y Palou.
And he was left there for 28 minutes to bleed out and die.
Y lo tuvieron ahí por 28 minutos.
No paramedics.
Murió por pérdida de sangre, sin ayuda médica.
No paramedics were allowed to come through to help him, to try to save his life. They were all shut off.
Entonces estuvieron allí, pero la policía no permitió que se acercaran para hacer su trabajo de tratar de salvar la vida de mi hijo.
They tried to say that my son had a gun.
Y trataron de decir que mi hijo estaba armado, que tenía una pistola.
They tried to say that my son shot himself.
Entonces ellos dijeron que él mismo se dio los balazos.
A weapon was only recovered 13 days later.
Pero no pudieron producir la arma por 2 semanas después que murió él.
As well as there were no shell casings, no bullets, no nothing. They're at the scene.
Y nunca podían producir las balas ni otra cosa que podían comprobar que él había tenido una pistola.
They tried to discredit my family.
Atacaron mi familia.
They said all these horrible things about myself and my children.
Entonces dijeron cosas muy horribles, defamándome a mí y el resto de mi familia, mis otros hijos.
They tried to make us out to be these people that were not in the media as well as the police.
Toda la policía y sus portavoces en los medios de comunicación masivas nos atacaron, nos defamamos.
And it's far from the truth. My son was very well loved and he is very well missed.
Y mi hijo fue un ser querido para nosotros, para mi familia, para mí.
Me and my children suffered daily for our loss.
Y nosotros sufrimos nuestra pérdida diariamente.
My son was brutally murdered.
Lo asesinaron de una forma brutalmente, brutalmente.
By the San Francisco police and left to die inhumanely.
Y en una manera infrahumana. Lo balacearon, entonces lo dejaron allí, no permitieron que sacaran los médicos para darle su auxilio médico hasta cuando ya estaban seguros que había muerto.
So me and my family have taken a stand and we are fighting back.
Y nosotros estamos luchando en esto. No nos hemos rendido. Vamos a luchar.
It's a shame that this occurs.
Es una lástima que ocurrió esto.
But I'm doing what it takes to get out here, to speak to these kids and allow them to know what is going on right up underneath their nose because I don't want to see this happen to anyone else.
Pero yo estoy informando a la gente, a los jóvenes, porque no quiero que ocurriese algo como esto otra vez.
My life has changed drastically overnight.
De un día al otro, mi vida ha cambiado de una forma drástica.
And my life right now is not about me. It's about trying to create change so that this doesn't happen to anyone else.
Y estoy dedicando mi vida, lo que tengo yo, mis recursos humanos, para luchar para que no ocurra algo como esto otra vez.
That's why I'm endorsing October 22nd, the National Day of Protest Against Police Brutality.
Por eso yo estoy auspiciando el 22 de octubre, el Día contra la Brutalidad Policiaca.
That's why everybody needs to come out, because we need to unite and stand as one against this so that it doesn't end up being anyone else's kid.
Y todos nosotros nos tenemos que unir, todos nosotros tenemos que plasmar un movimiento para que cosas como estas no ocurran otra vez.
That's right.
So, to everyone listening, please come to 3rd Street in Paloo on October 22nd to stand up and stand out against police brutality.
Queremos verlos todos los oyentes, que vengan a la calle Tercera y Palú a las 12 del mediodía, sábado el 22 de octubre.
Thank you.
You know,
muchas gracias.
Thank you. We really appreciate once again your courage as a mother, as a person of the community taking this stand, you know, because there is a lot of mothers out there that are in the same situation, focused on and being harassed by the police because of their kids, because of what their kids are doing in the neighborhood, right? Because they don't have no alternatives, there's no resources, and you know, they're just probably trying to do something so that they can get creative, right? And have that space where they can be able to share time and, you know, not have to look over their shoulder every day or every minute. Because once again, if it's not the gangs, it's actually the police that you have to look out for, right? Because once again, they're not the ones that are protecting our community. They're actually putting fear into our communities and trying to infer us so that we don't take a stand like this on October 22nd and, you know, pretend like everything's okay and that they protect and serve our communities, right? Just like the way they should. But in reality, we all know that's not the truth. And we must tell the folks that don't even understand what happens in these communities where, you know, police brutality happens every day, where the police walks up to you and they just start searching you without any reason or cause, just because they want to, right? Or they can just shoot you and then leave you there to die, right? And so the reality is, you know, they got all these different excuses and, you know, they have the badge. But at the same time, we have the people and we have the community, and we actually can tell them, because we have the actual way we pay taxes so that they can be able to have a job, right? And they need to be protecting the community, not putting it in fear. So once again, we're talking to Demica Chapman, and Juan Rojo is translating for us, está traduciendo para nosotros. And, you know, so we also got right here Larry. So, Larry, tell us once again, this is going to be happening in Palau. And you know what? I live in that neighborhood as well, actually. And so, you know, it's really cool that this is happening right there in my own community, and that we're making people aware about it, and that, you know, that I'm becoming aware about it as well. And that, you know, that I can participate with my neighbors to be able to take this stand and tell folks really what's going on in our communities, because I see it every day too. I see the police, you know, riding hella fast down the street, burning rubber, you know, not even caring if there's pedestrians, right? And, you know, and just pulling people over for no reason, right? And so once again, we know that, you know, when these types of activities are happening in our communities, we're not alone. And that we must take a stand, that, you know, we must put a community complaint against these types of activities and really put a check and a balance to these police departments that are, you know, becoming questionable in their activities every day. So, Larry, Are you still there with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Sí, estoy, todavía estoy aquí, gracias.
Sí. So, Larry, tell us a little bit about how you got involved.
Pues, ¿cómo es que usted comenzó a participar en este movimiento? Díganos.
Well, I mean, I've been somebody who's a you know, activist around police brutality, along with you know, many other issues. I mean, I've been a teacher for several years, and particularly around this issue, I've seen many of my students. I taught in Oakland, and I'm still teaching part time. I've been a full time teacher for many years, and I have seen, you know, many students, particularly students of color, black students, Arabic students, Latino students shot by the police, and I think it's been one of those things that needs that communities need to unite around to fight back against, and I mean, I think it's very important to see, you know, on this day that we you know, see that this is a national day of protest, not only against police brutality, but it's called, you know, repression and the criminalization of a generation. That, you know, it's a day to connect the what do you call the pieces of the whole war on the people that's being waged across the country. You know, I mentioned, you know, the stop and frisk and this mass incarceration of generations of people. I mean, and also the use of the police. You know, we think of the old Jim Crow. You know, well, this, the new Jim Crow is just police shooting people down. You know, they're not dressed in you know, white costumes, but they just as well should be, you know, in terms of the role that the police authorities now are playing in the communities across this country. And October 22nd, I just want to say, is being celebrated as a day of protest, you know, militant protest, actually, in several different cities. And we intend this year in the Bayview, as you're saying, to make it a day when people do come out on the street, when they do feel the need to express, you know, their you know, anger, and you know, at not only anger, but their you know, togetherness as far as standing up to you know, these police authorities. I mean, I forgot, it's supposed to be translated.
Okay. Está bien, no hay problema. Dice que yo soy activista, he sido activista por muchos años. Una cosa que me ha animado a mí como maestro en la ciudad de Oakland es oír las historias que me han contado mis estudiantes, cómo han sido tratados por la policía, especialmente los estudiantes latinos y afroamericanos que vienen, me han contado cómo los han tratado las policías. Y yo simplemente me he reaccionado contra ese tipo de injusticia. Y el 22 de octubre nos da la oportunidad de no solamente quejarnos, sino de mostrar la fuerza que tenemos cuando estamos unidos y estamos en pie de lucha, a luchar contra estas injusticias y la manera que nos tratan y nos expresan. Y por eso yo estoy participando en esto. Esta va a ser una acción que se va a celebrar en varias ciudades a través del país. Y con la idea que no vamos a dejarnos, vamos a luchar contra todo esto.
And, I just want to say this day is also, there's really, as Danica was bringing out, there's really an important point to get to the youth. And we meet so that, you know, we're talking to students in schools, and we're going to the colleges, you know, and the high schools, and we're trying to get people to come out, you know, and particularly on October 21st, which is, you know, the day before Friday, we're calling it a day of defiance to build for October 22nd on the campuses, and also there's going to be like a rally at Powell and Market Street, and hoping to unite with some of the Occupy, you know, Wall Street, Occupy San Francisco people. And another thing we're trying to do on this year is to because of this these protests that are happening, in the city, we want to actually have you know, kind of a cross mingling of people, the people that are you know, kind of, so to speak, under the gun, to put people that are like live in other communities to actually to support each other, you know. So we're asking people to come up, you know, to the Bayview, you know, on October 22nd, and also we're going to actually probably send a contingent, you know, down to the Occupy San Francisco on the 22nd. So that's an aspect.
lo que vamos a hacer, vamos a tener una manifestación el 21 de octubre para poder hacer
el 22, ¿no?
En contacto con los las jóvenes en las prepas.
Juan Rojo, es el 22, ¿no?
I'm sorry.
Es el 22. El 22 de octubre, ¿no?
No, pero el 21, el viernes, el día antes.
Ah, okay.
Van a tener una acción en la calle Pauli Market. Eso es, ese lugar ya ha sido escogido porque queremos que vengan jóvenes de todas partes de la ciudad y la gente que está participando en el movimiento Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Oakland, la gente que está participando en ese movimiento aquí en San Francisco y en Oakland, y queremos que se vengan allí los jóvenes de las prepas, de las universidades y los colegios para participar en este movimiento. Y el 22 de octubre, que ese es el sábado, queremos ver toda esa gente ahí también, bueno, que participen ahí en el barrio donde ocurren estas injusticias.
Yes, that's right. You know, that's what we need to do, Larry. That's a great idea. You know, Danica, to bring the folks to the communities where these abuses, these you know, brutalities are happening, so that people can at least make a safe space for 24 hours or 48 or 64, or you divide that by two more, and then we get more time to be safe in our own communities by people demanding it to be safe. Just like they're demanding this 90 to be recognized as the 99%, we can also demand to be recognized as the community and the safety we want for our community. So as you were saying, this is going to be happening in two different days. October 21st is going to be at Powell and Market. And then on October 22nd, there's going to be the actual mobilization for police brutality day that's going to be taking place on October 22nd on 3rd and Paulu.
Yeah, and we're asking people to wear black that day, and we're going to be like black armbands as well, you know, because we want to we expect this to be militant but also festive, you know, kind of a celebration of the oppressed, but with an edge to it, and we want particularly the youth to come out to this. I just want to mention that I don't know if this is known, because we were talking to some activists today up there in Bayview, and they were telling us about a new thing now. There's no loitering signs. These signs are being put up right in the main area where people congregate near 3rd and Palou. There's like right near some of the stores and right near where people hang out. I mean, I don't know if people know that this is the area that people hang out in. There's a plaza and people always talking and walking around and whatnot. So now the police have now put signs up, no loitering around there. That means they're trying to actually, you know, talk about police state atmosphere. You know, this is a place where an area where people can actually, you know, talk and hang out and communicate, and now they're actually trying to take that away. So I want, you know, so when we say, you know, that this is like in, you know, occupied territory up there, I mean, this is not, you know, I mean, we have to understand exactly why and how they stopped, you know, Kenneth Harding Jr., you know, in the first place. That this was actually, if you want to get into it, it was actually, I mean, like a violation of the Fourth Amendment of search and seizure. I mean, there's this is what's happening like around. That's what's stopping frisk is in New York. But I'm going on here.
No, that's fine, man. You know, and I just want to actually bring back this concept of what happens as a mother, right? The mother of Kenneth Harding Jr., who's with us right now and has experienced this brutality for herself as a mother in her own community, by the people who are supposed to be protecting her and her family. And so, Danica, I want to ask you if you can talk to a mother who might not have experienced this yet, but could experience this. How was it for you as a mother trying to just gather these facts and deal with the pain at the same time? Because, you know, it takes time to get these facts correct and right so that you really know how it happened, what happened, and who did it.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I want to thank Miss Wanda Johnson, who is Oscar Grant's mother, because she has helped me through my grief. and she's still experiencing her own grief. And outside of that, you know, it's shocking because you sit at home every day and you wait for your child to walk through that door who's never coming through it. And outside of that, I would like to let the other mothers know that these are our children. It's up to us to protect them. We can only get out of them what we put in them. And so we need to make sure what we put in them is positive so that they can move forward in life, so that they can sustain their education and get something better out of life. And they don't have to deal with this or go through this. But if we're not educating our own children and making them aware that these are the kind of things that can happen as soon as you walk out the door, then they become statistics. And that's why I'm out here speaking to the youth. I'm in the colleges. I'm in the high schools. And that's all I want to do is try to create some type of prevention and awareness to let the youth know that this is what's going on so that they'll never go through it.
Sí, bueno, la pregunta, quiero contestar la pregunta porque es, ¿cómo es que pude hacer esto con tanta pena en mi vida? Pues yo primero le quiero dar las gracias a la mamá de Oscar Grant, la señora Johnson, que habló conmigo, me ha aconsejado, me ha ayudado bastante. Y ella todavía está bregando con la pérdida de su hijo Oscar Grant. Y me ha dado bastante ayuda. Y yo quiero también hablar directamente a todas las madres que están oyendo este programa, que tenemos que informar a nuestros hijos. Tenemos que poner lo positivo en la vida para que ellos puedan avanzar. Y una de las cosas que tenemos que enseñarles que es la lucha contra la injusticia. Y eso es algo muy importante. Eso todas a las mamás allí. Esto es lo que tenemos que hacer. Y yo voy a los he ido a las prepas, a las universidades y he hablado con los jóvenes de todas estas cosas.
I would also like to thank the Bayview community for supporting me throughout all of this. They have been a great support to me, as well as the Nation of Islam, the NAACP, and just people from around our own country who have sent in donations, who have helped me to bury my son, and who have sent in letters to my attorney's office, just in regards to what I may be going through or in regards to my son's character. And if anybody would like to know what happened to Kenneth, there are many videos on YouTube that will clearly show you everything that happened on that day. There were more than 150 people out there that day. So there are many videos on YouTube that shows clearly what happened to Kenneth. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yo quiero darle las gracias también a la comunidad del Bayview, de la Nation de Islam, de la asociación NAACP y otros por toda la ayuda que me han brindado. También les quiero dar las gracias a las personas que han dado sus donativos para poder enterrar mi hijo. Y también por todos ustedes que quieren ver lo que pasó ese día cuando asesinaron a mi hijo. Están en YouTube varios videos porque estuvieron presentes más de 150 personas el día que ocurrió esto. Y se puede ver en YouTube los videos de cómo asesinaron a mi hijo. ¿Qué pasó ese día?
There were also 7 video cameras out there throughout the community in that area that clearly shows as well what happened. But because they were all on city property, the police have confiscated them and they're not sharing any of the information with my attorney. They're actually making things difficult. So I urge all of you to stay on the police so that this doesn't become another scam, so that they don't get away with this. Put pressure on your mayor.
También quiero decir que había 7 cámaras allí, de video, pero están en la propiedad de la ciudad de San Francisco, son cámaras de la ciudad de San Francisco, y no quieren compartir los videos con nosotros, no quieren compartir el video con mi abogado. Pero no podemos permitir que esto ocurra, que ellos estén, no los castiguen a los culpables, y también deben de presionar al alcalde para que lleven adelante esta cosa, de no permitir que ellos escapen sin castigo.
Put pressure on your mayor from the city of San Francisco so that the truth can be known and told.
Sí, presione y exige el alcalde que tenemos que saber la verdad de lo que pasó.
We have to stand together, to march together, to be together as one. We have to come together as one, unite as one, one community, one purpose, so that this doesn't happen to anyone else.
Sí, tenemos que unirnos, tenemos que estar en pie de lucha como comunidad, tenemos que marchar como, tenemos que estar unidos para que esto no ocurra otra vez a ninguna otra persona.
My son was 19 years old. He was supposed to start college in September, last month. He doesn't have any children. He doesn't have a wife. These are things that he's never going to receive out of life. Those are grandchildren I'll never receive from him, as well as the life that was taken away from me. I gave him life, but they took that life away from me, and they don't have the right to do that. They're supposed to protect and serve, but they allowed my son to lay there in the street for 28 minutes to bleed out and die.
Si mi hijo apenas tenía 19 años de edad, hubiera comenzado su primer año en la universidad este septiembre, hubiera tenido en su futuro una esposa, hubiera tenido hijos, yo hubiera tenido nietos, pero me quitaron eso, me negaron eso. Y no podemos permitir que esto ocurra otra vez. Yo le di vida a mi hijo y ellos le robaron la vida. Ellos lo balacearon y lo dejaron ahí demorando su sangre por 28 minutos.
But it's sad because this isn't just happening to me, or this hasn't just occurred to my son. It's happening all across, not just the Bay, but the United States. So stand up as if it was your child, demand answers, demand the truth, and demand change.
Sí, desafortunadamente esto no solamente está ocurriendo aquí en San Francisco, no solamente le pasó a mi hijo, no solamente le va a pasar a mi hijo, esto está pasando por todos los Estados Unidos, y tenemos que ponernos en pie de lucha para prevenir esto, para que no permita que esto ocurra otra vez.
Thank you.
Yes, most definitely. Thank you. We appreciate your words, and those are words of wisdom and experience as well. And definitely, you know, we got to really focus on our kids and protect them as well from the police, like you're saying, you know, because once they step out that door, no, you never know what's going to happen, right? And we really can't, you know, depend on the police, it sounds like, anywhere. You know, and so basically, we're seeing that this pattern is growing across the nation as well. It doesn't stop any year, it doesn't stop any time. You know, like you were saying, there's 44 people killed in Chicago recently as well. And so we're seeing, you know, a lot of different attacks on our youth as well, right? We got the gang injunctions that are going on right here in Oakland that are also out there in San Francisco. And, you know, most definitely the Bayview Hunters Point is, I think, one of the areas as well, right?
Well, yes, I mean, I think there's four different, like, you know, police forces, you know, running around. You know, there's the regular boys in blue, and then you have the narcotics, so-called narcotics squad, and then you have the transportation police, you know. And then you have also there are some, you know, private police hired by a few of the businesses up there, but what they actually are off duty police. So, and then there's other authorities running around. So it's a, if you talk to any youths up there, you will, they will tell you, they will confirm this, you know, story, you know, and I know it's not only true in the Bayview, but it's especially, I mean, it's also true in, like, in, you know, East Oakland and parts of West Oakland and, you know, all over the place, but particularly in the Bayview, there it's a, you know, occupied territory. And actually, I was talking to, one of the, activists up in the Bayview, and what he was saying around October 22nd, that really what maybe October 22nd should be like, you know, we're going to declare it unoccupied territory, you know, unoccupied by the police for that day, you know, kind of so that that's something that the people feel they can come out that day, and there won't be any, you know, police around hassling anybody. So
real quickly, where can folks get more information on Kenneth Harding Jr.'s case as well, and also what's going to happen on October 22nd with the Anti-Police Brutality Day?
Okay, well, there was a federal lawsuit filed. My attorney is the law offices of John Burris. If anybody wants any information regarding Kenny, like I said, they can look at the YouTube video. They can also go to Kenneth Harding's memorial page on Facebook and see all the loving and kind, just genuine comments that have been left for him, and see how much he is loved and how much he is missed. I would also like to thank all the many people who went to jail just for speaking out for my son, for the injustice, as well as the people who have been harassed, stopped and pulled over and threatened that their parole or probation would be violated if they spoke out regarding this case, as well as the people who went to jail for going over into their community just trying to collect witnesses. There's a lot going on with this case. There's not too much I can speak about it just because of the legal terms. However, I just want everyone to know that I appreciate all the support. There is much love from my heart for all of you, and I thank you for just caring about my son and being here to support us.
Sí, les quiero dar las gracias por todo el apoyo que nos han brindado ustedes. Las personas que quieren más información acerca del caso de mi hijo se pueden poner en contacto con mi abogado John Barris o otro lugar donde pueden ir en Facebook y buscar el nombre de mi hijo allí, y se va a ver que hay muchas personas que han puesto comentarios allí que demuestra qué tan querido fue él. Kenneth Harding en Facebook, y también poniéndose en contacto con mi abogado John Barris.
So once again, una vez más, esto no nada más pasa en las comunidades afroamericanas, sino que también en todas comunidades, todos barrios y todas clases. Tenemos que estar atentos y listos para, you know, ponernos juntos, estar juntos, ayudarnos cuando algo pase así. Como vemos, as we've seen out here in Oakland, we just recently had a 3-year-old shot out in the community, and the police are still not able to capture anybody from what I hear. And, you know, but then all of a sudden they can find Osama bin Laden, for example, right? But then they can't find folks that shoot down little kids, or police that, you know, kill people with handcuffs, right? Or trial them or give them, you know, the right sentence, so to speak, even if they get onto the actual stand, right? As we've seen, most cops don't really make it to the stand, and if they do, they normally walk away. It's been about 15 to 17 years that a cop has been tried, I think. And so that's, I think, speaking maybe just in California, or would that be nationally? Maybe that's something you can research as well, just because it's good to be informed on it and really know how the system works when a policeman shoots your son, your daughter, or a family member down, and they don't get arrested for it, and they walk away with murder, Right. And so once again, we're hearing it from a personal experience, and we're hearing it from folks that are organizing in muchas comunidades and different communities. And but we're going to focus on October 22nd, allí in the Bayview Hunters Point. So maybe we should take it to the Mission next time. You know, maybe we should take it to Western Addition as well. You know, maybe we should take it as well to the other places that are being occupied by the police and are terrorizing the community. Community, right?
Absolutely.
So once again, Larry, give us that information, and you know, if there's any last comments or thoughts about this day and how special it is and why folks should really come out.
Well, I mean, I just think this is a day to connect, as I said before, all these this whole war on the people that's going on, not only in the Bay Area, but across the country. And also, we should actually, this is like the changed and charged atmosphere, which what's happening with the people are like, you know, there's a certain stirring going on amongst the people. And I think that this stirring must be connected to the oppressed communities, you know, and I think that this is something that October 22nd can also connect that. Can connect this changed atmosphere to the communities really that are experiencing the most oppression. So I think that's something that's really important to see what the connection could be on October 22nd to all these riotings going on, these occupations going on. You know, and I think that this idea of wearing black, fighting back, and whether it's in the Western Addition or whether it's in the Mission, I mean, people should come up to, you know, the Bayview, but if they can't, they should actually, you know, have their own, you know, spirit of October 22nd on that day in their communities. But definitely wear black, fight back. October 21st is a day of defiance in Powell Market and in schools. And then come on all out for October 22nd at 3rd in Palou. There will be speakers and, you know, other families will be speaking out, you know, in addition to Danica Chapman. I just wanted to say we, you know, Cephas Johnson, uncle of Oscar Grant, Danny Garcia, Lori Davis, the mother of Raheem Brown, as well as Raheem Brown, and let's see, Joyce Hutton. These are just some of the people that have committed to speaking that day, who's a relative of Bobby Hutton, Jeremy Miller from the Dracilli Foundation, some activists from up there in the Bayview, Clyde Benzo, and Kilo Perry. Those are just a few of the people that are committed to speaking on that day. And it won't be just a day of speeches. It will be a day when people will be going out to the community, reaching out and having people, you know, stand up that day. And again, it's October 22nd, Saturday, 12 noon, 3rd Street in Palou. And for more information, it's 510-206-0742. And you can email October22ndBayArea@gmail.com. And there's also October 22nd Bay Area Facebook. So thank you very much.
Bueno, también quiero decir que debemos de participar en luchar contra la guerra que han declarado contra el pueblo, contra todas las diferentes comunidades que ya hemos nombrado. Todo el mundo esté en pie de lucha, brazaletas de color negro, vístase de negro, luchar para resistir. Queremos verlos todos en la calle Tercera y Palou, el 12 de mediodía, el 22 de octubre. Y que viva la lucha.
Yes, that's right. You know, and folks can organize their own October 22nd in their own communities. Raza puede organizarse allí en sus barrios, you know, really make a stand for, you know, the people that have passed away in your community that you remember, that you miss, that you wish that they were still here growing up with you, going to school with you, you know, going to that next level of life, right? So, you know, if this has happened in your community, I would definitely suggest organizing. Even, you know, if someone hasn't been shot, but they get brutalized by the police, or they get hit, or they get shoved, or, you know, something's happened that the police are not supposed to do in your community, really, you should take a stand once again, because this is something that you need to let them know it's not okay, and that you're actually paying their wages so that they can protect you, not kill your kids and your family, right? And so once again, this is going to be taking place October 22nd, and it's going to be a national effort, and it's up to you to make that happen as well. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back right here on Setting the Standard. But before we go, Danica, I just want you to say any last thoughts or feelings, if you want, for the youth out there, you know, especially because, once again, they're the ones that are being targeted by the police every day. We know that right here in the Bayview Hunters Point, we have more than a couple, three or four schools right there in that area of 3rd and Palau. And then we got like one community center, maybe two or three. Right. And then, like, the reality is we got, 10 to 1, so to speak, ratios in the schools, you know, and like it's not really something that we can avoid, having so many kids hanging out in the street, walking home or trying to get home safely and not get shot by the police. So if you can just give some words as well, any last thoughts or comments to those youth out there in those streets.
Yes, I will, definitely. To the youth out there, I want you to know that I have relocated from Seattle to the Bay Area because my mission is now you. My life is no longer about me. My life is about who is going to get help from all of this. So I am speaking at a local school near you in the Bayview, Hunters Point area, as well as throughout San Francisco colleges, high schools. I'm in Oakland. If you need me, if you want me at your school, allow your administrators to know and have them contact Larry. He just gave his number for contact purposes. Outside of that, if there is anything that I can do to help you, find a way to contact me. I'm not hard to find. All you have to do is get in contact with Larry. But that's what I'm here for. I'm here to reach out to you. I'm here to raise your awareness. I'm here to keep your life going so that none of y'all have to experience what my son did. So I care genuinely. I'm here for a purpose, and I'm here on a mission. And until that mission is fulfilled, all of the youth have me 100%.
Los hijos quiero decir que yo voy a vivir aquí permanentemente en la área de Bahía. Voy a dedicar el resto de mi vida a salvar los jóvenes. Y yo estoy dispuesta a ir a hablar en las escuelas, hacer uso de la palabra en el high school o el colegio o cualquier otra cosa. Nomás pónganse en contacto con Larry, le dio su número de teléfono hace poco. Y yo voy a dedicar el resto de mi vida para que esto no le ocurra a usted lo que le ocurrió a mi hijo. Yo estoy 100% dedicada a llevar adelante esa causa.
Outside of all of that, if any of y'all want me, come down, participate, be there for support, whatever it may take. Come to the national protest on October 22nd. I will be there. I will be speaking. If you want me, you got me. I'm here wholeheartedly, 100%.
Y también los invito a todos a participar el 22 de octubre a las 12 del mediodía en la calle Tercera y Palú. Yo voy a estar allí, voy a hacer uso de la palabra y como les digo otra vez, que si ustedes quieren que yo venga a su escuela, yo estoy dispuesto a hacerlo.
Thank you.
Y gracias.
Yes, most definitely. And so once again, we were just talking with Danica Chapman, mother of Kenneth Harding Jr., who may rest in peace. And once again, we also had Juan Rojo here translating with us. And we have Larry, who's a part of the organizing that's going on throughout the nation right here for October 22nd, the Anti-Police Brutality Day that's going to be taking place. And so once again, remember, this doesn't only happen in one community. It could also happen in yours. And so be aware that when it does happen, you know, there can be drastic changes that take place in less than a second. And so once again, that's why we need to be prepared as a community and recognize our beauty recognized, our youth recognized, you know, their efforts in our communities and trying to stay alive from these types of activities and brutalities that surround them every day and that are not being stopped by the police and that are not really a focus of the city as well, right? Because once again, if they really did want to stop, for example, drive-bys, you know, they would definitely try to figure out, hey, where are these drive-bys happening the most, right? And why are they happening there so much? And what can we do to really stop these drive-bys? And instead, you don't see that happening. You see them trying to chase these cars down, crash into people's houses, or have the, you know, the people driving kill themselves, or kill them while they're shooting at them as well, right? So once again, you know, we see these types of activity where the police department doesn't really give any type of suggestion for, you know, violent activity to change in a positive way so that they don't really even have to patrol the situation. And they know that if they put up bumps, that that will actually prevent more drive-bys, right? And so that they'll know that that's one way they can slow people down and be able to actually get the license plate if the car doesn't make it across, right, the whole bumps. And so once again, we need solutions, not more guns, not more police, not more laws that are going to be trying to put our kids behind the bars and six feet deep. Right. So thank you very much to all of you for being with us right here on Setting the Standard. We'll be right back after this quick music break. And may all those mothers who have lost a young one, who have witnessed or experienced brutality, right, may you find some understanding as well and be able to find that peace within and guide your soul of the last lost one to your home and back to your home again and again. So thank you very much, and we'll be right back.
And tomorrow there will be a press conference announcing the October 22nd protest and the October 21st Day of Defiance. It's going to be the press conference will be Monday, October 17th at 3rd and Oakdale in the Bayview District. And it so far, Danica Chapman will be there along with Willie Ratcliffe from the Bayview newspaper, and probably or likely Cephas Johnson, the uncle of Oscar Grant, and someone representing the prisoners' hunger strike, and likely someone from the occupation. Wall Street is going to be there.
And that's happening today at Oakdale and 3rd at what time?
At 12 noon.
At 12 noon. And once again, this is a press conference for the October 22nd that's going to be taking place out there in Bayview. Once again, get more information on the website, which is which? What is it?
Well, you check on the October 22nd Bay Area at gmail.com, and it's Facebook, October 22nd Bay Area Facebook.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you very much to all of you for being with us again, and we'll talk to you soon and get an update on what happened.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.